day in here, and we're just grateful that you joined us today. A couple of announcements, and a couple of these are not written down, but I made reference last week that I wanted you to look at the prayer list, because we were running out of space, and to see if there are any updates or any changes, or maybe you might see your own name on there and think, well, I'm doing well, and I can be removed. And you know how many responses I got during the week? None. And it sort of hit me that it's probably because you're like me, and you left your bulletin here, and you didn't think about it. So here's what I want you to do today. Look at it sometime during the service or during the offertory. And if you have any changes, go ahead and hand that sheet to Jen today as you're leaving, and we'll make those changes to the prayer list sheet. Also, another announcement I just want to let you see is we had thought we were going to be going to the Binkies this coming Wednesday, because Carolyn wouldn't be back in time. She is going to be back in time. So this Wednesday, the men and women's group on Wednesday night will meet again at Carolyn's house. Speaking of Ann, we want to keep her in prayer. She'll be having surgery on Thursday, so let's keep that. Also, one other announcement that's not in here is you may have seen, and I know some of you have been blessed by the presence of those that pray at communion. Al has done it, Andy's done it, and Katie. If you're interested, you feel led to be a part of that, talk to Katie. Katie Eppley, she will talk to you and orient you, and we would love to have more involved in that. Any other announcements? Let's move to prayer requests. Yes?
There's cucumbers by the door.
There are cucumbers by the door. All right. Someone told me this past week, and I forget where, that if you smell cucumbers, it's a sign that they're
copperhead.
Have any of you ever heard that?
Never.
So I don't know. So take a cucumber out at your own risk. Let's move to prayer requests. We want to give you an update. Thank you for the prayers from my mother, Carol Bryant. Her surgery went well, had a lot of serious complications since then, but it looks like she's turned the corner and doing well. We did make an emergency extraction. We felt like a bunch of jailbreakers. We broke her out of a nursing home that was quite inadequate, but it'll go unnamed, and we took her home, and we'll be doing private care. So, but they have asked just for her healing. The doctors requested no visits, so just keep her in your prayer, and if you have any concerns, give me a call. Also, I mentioned we want to keep Ann in our prayers as she's having surgery. I also want you to keep Glenn Harvey in your prayer. He's having surgery next Monday, the 21st. And we want to give praise that Sue Rossiter's surgery this week went very well, so we're grateful for that. Any other items for prayer? Yes, Agnes.
The people of Hawaii.
Amen. The people of Hawaii. If you've seen those pictures, they're quite devastating. Those of you who remember Tom Goff and remembered that he had a daughter, Daphne, that lived on the island in Hawaii, I called Mary that day, and she's on the bigger island, but she's not on this island, so she's fine. Any other prayer? Sue?
Keep Patty in prayer. She was a friend of mine that was visiting and had been
Let's keep Patty. And Gwen is back, right? Let's keep Robert in our prayers as well. He's traveling to Leesburg to see Heather today. So pray for his traveling mercies, and that's a good visit. Any other items? Yes, sir.
Yes, please continue to pray for my wife, Ann. She has her surgery Thursday and just having a rough time.
Let's keep Ann in our prayers. keep us posted. Any others? Well, I want to give praise that today two people are celebrating their birthday. It is Tricia Williams' birthday, and it is Tony Wise's birthday. They both turned 63 today, so we celebrate that gift. And we all celebrate life among us. Any other items? Let's go to the Lord's Prayer. Our gracious Lord, we were glad when we were told to enter into the house of the Lord. Like the psalmist, like even our Savior, it burns within us at times in the living of life to get back to this place of solace, where we know your promise to meet us in word and sacrament is true. And we run unto your holy name as a strong tower, a tower of protection, a tower of rest, a tower of clarity. We come. We come admitting and confessing our own weakness and inability. And we're grateful to come and praise high the name of the altogether holy, lovely, and able one. We thank you that in your wisdom and in your power, you are moved by your compassion to attend to those things that we care for. Sometimes those things are so deeply cared for, it's difficult to put them in words. And we're grateful that you see our heart. You capture every tear in a bottle, and you remember. So we would ask you in your love to remember those that we've mentioned. We pray that you would be with Ann and Glenn for their upcoming surgeries, that they would go well, that they would be surprised, that the medical community would be surprised at how well it went. And we can point to the one who has healing in his love. We just pray that you would be with Patty. Just bless her and strengthen her. Be with Gwen. Be with Robert and so many others today as they're traveling. We pray that you'd be with the people in Hawaii. We look at those pictures of devastation and we're torn and we're heartbroken. And we're reminded that we are truly blessed. May we always be mindful of those that are suffering so deeply. We just thank you for how well Sue's surgery went, and we thank you for protecting and carrying my mother through the difficulties and complications, and that she is doing much better. We thank you for the life that you have given us, for we know that you are the author and creator of life. So we celebrate those milestones that remind us of your goodness in watching over us. And we thank you for Tony, and we thank you for Tricia, and we just ask your blessings upon them as they celebrate this wonderful day together. We thank you that you care for us. And we also thank you that you care for the one that comes to our mind at this time. Now bless, strengthen, and may we worship in spirit and truth in your holy name. Amen. If you look with me on the front of the bulletin, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love,
God away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with the Holy Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
And as you return to the insert, we'll read all 16 verses of Psalm 18. Calling us to worship, then we'll stand and sing hymn 55. I love you, O Lord, my strength, O Lord, my stronghold, my crag and my haven.
My God, my rock, in my God which I trust, my shield, the horn of my salvation, and my refuge, you are worthy of praise.
I will call upon the Lord, and so shall I be saved from my enemies.
The breakers of death hold over me. And the torrents of oblivion made me afraid.
The cords of hell entangled me, and the snares of death were set for me.
I called upon the Lord in my distress, and I cried out to my God for help.
He heard my voice from the heavenly dwelling. My cry of anguish came to his ears.
The earth reeled and rocked. The roots of the mountains shook. They reeled because of his anger.
Smoke rose from his nostrils and a consuming fire out of his mouth. Hot burning coals blazed forth from him.
He parted the heavens and came down with a storm cloud under his feet.
He mounted on cherubim and flew. He swooped on the wings of the wind.
He wrapped darkness about him. He made dark waters and thick clouds his pavilion.
From the brightness of his presence through the clouds burst hailstones and coals of fire.
The Lord thundered out of heaven. The Most High uttered his voice.
He loosed his arrows and scattered them. He hurled thunderbolts and routed them.
The beds of the seas were uncovered, and the foundations of the world lay bare. At your battle cry, O Lord, at last in the breath of your nostrils.
He reached down from the high and grasped me. He drew me out of great waters.
Thank you. First reading comes from Job 38, 4 through 18. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? And what was its basis sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garments and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors. And I said, thus far shall you come and no further, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Have you commanded the morning since your days began and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth and wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay upon the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare, if you know all this. Words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
grace and the faithful offer service that is worthy of you and deserving of praise. Keep us from stumbling as we run to receive your promise through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And as your grateful children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Second reading comes from Romans 10, 5 through 17. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The Lord, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without some preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Work with it.
Thank you, God.
Thank you. the true peace giver, the only one who calms the waves and the winds. We give you praise both now and forevermore. Amen.
Gospel reading is Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, but he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Before the sermon, I would like to say thank you. We've been just incredibly blessed over the last several years by the kindness and graciousness of the Lynchburg Adventist Church and their pastor, Geralda. And you've probably not seen it, but they've gone to a new way of doing the PA system. So on his day off, their pastor, Geralda, has been here for the last 4 weeks or so, running our sound and teaching our guys how to do it. Thank you, Pastor, for your gift. It's been a real joy to be here. The grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be unto each one of you. This is a sermon. In fact, I not only studied for this sermon, unfortunately, I lived this sermon this past week, couple weeks, and it's left me quite tired. I almost thought, well, I'll just stand up and read scripture during the sermon and we'd be done. But then I thought, no, there's some heavenly irony to the passage that we are looking at in Matthew's gospel. And I've thought about this a lot over the last week, not only in study, but in experience. And I guess the way I describe it is sort of like I would describe one of my favorite children's books. You may be aware of it. It's Alexandra and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Have you ever felt like Alexandra? This has been a tough week or two for me. Serious worries regarding my mother. Incredible frustrations dealing with the medical community. Lawnmowers that wouldn't start and cars that are acting up and more bills coming in than I've envisioned. Friends that are struggling with issues. People that I love that were cancer-free getting cancer again. Adult children that write you off because they ask for money and you don't respond. It's just been a bad, bad time. And I say that not so much to make it focus on me, because I think sermons and Facebook are terrible places to pour your personal life out. But I have a sneaking suspicion that you've had horrible, very bad terrible, not so good times. And so it's not that I am the spiritual expert that is above that. It's that we're in this boat together. And the truth of the matter is, if we're honest, and I'm going to be honest to a fault, sometimes it feels like we're in the boat alone, doesn't it? Sometimes it feels like you're in the boat alone. And I've prayed more over the last couple of weeks than normal. I've read the Bible. I've wanted to see God break through and do something big. He can do it, can he? And I've wanted to see him do it. I wanted him to bring some joy. And to be quite honest, he seemed absent. He seemed silent. Now, I know all the scriptures. I know the scriptures, and I believe in fully the sovereignty of God. I know that all the scriptures that you quote to me and I quote to you, and they're true. We read them today. Psalms 18 we read today is a call to worship. Talks about the deliverance of God and his people. We read in Job talking about the omnipotence of God and the need for us to trust him. With verses 16 and 18 in particular reminding us that he controls everything. We know these things are truth. But the rub is what we know is truth and what we experience in reality is at variance. And the truth of the matter is, like the apostles in our passage today, we sometimes feel that we are alone in the boat. God is nowhere to be found. Let's look at this passage in particular. And I think you'll see some unsettling aspects. I love reading scripture for what it does say, but we also read it asking questions, not in a critical way that denies its supernaturalness or its authority, but we want to chew on it like a bone and to ask questions. So the first thing I notice as I read this in verse 22 is Jesus made them go into a storm. Jesus made them go into a storm. Well, I thought all the cute little magnets I read at the Christian bookstore and the bumper, I thought Jesus was the one that kept us from the storms. I thought Jesus kept us away from the rainy days, and he was our shelter. I can do all things through Christ, and all other these verses that are taken out of context. What does it mean that Jesus made them go into a storm? If you look in verse 22, the Greek word for made is an extremely strong word. It means to force them. In Mark's gospel, in the first chapter, it's the same word that's used when the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. We pray, and it's a difficult thing to pray. Lord, lead us not into temptation. But in his wisdom, he sometimes drives us, makes us go through difficult times. Sometimes we cry out, take me, take it away, take it away, take it away. And like Paul, what do we hear? Nope, not going to do it. But you're going to learn in the midst of me not taking it away that my grace is sufficient for you. The second thing we see, which adds insult to injury, not only did he make them go into the storm, we see in the end of verse 22, he's silent during the storm. While he dismissed the crowds, and afterwards he dismissed the crowds, he went up into the mountains by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. The gospel writer has fallen all over himself to express and to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is absolutely alone. It's interesting to me that the only time in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus is alone is in this passage when his disciples are in the middle of a storm. The only time he's alone, he deliberately waited until they were out in the middle of the water. The Sea of Galilee, 6 to 8 miles wide, so they're 3 or 4 miles from shore. He waited deliberately until they were out in the middle, and he went up on a mountain. And there in the storm, alone. See, we must confess that God's timing is not our timing, and God's ways are not our ways. And in this story, it's different than the other time. Do you remember several months ago we had in Matthew another time where the disciples are in a storm in a boat? In Matthew 8, remember Jesus was with them in the boat during the storm. And he was sleeping. But in this time, they're in a storm, but he's not with them. They're alone. And I want to point out, and you see this in the Greek, but I want to point it out, is that Jesus was intentionally leaving them by himself. I don't understand that. In fact, to be honest, I don't like that. But one thing I know is that Jesus knows in his wisdom that if he's always rescuing us, our faith and dependence won't grow. If we never are left alone, I read in one of the commentators a thought that I thought was quite good. If you remember back to your school days, the teacher never talked during the test. And in the same way, the great architect, the teacher of all things, allows us to go through the test sometimes alone, in silence, as Job did, as Jesus did, to remind us that our faith and dependence grows in those times where we feel alone, where a word of the Lord seems rare, and we trust in the dark even though we can't sense the light. The third thing we see in verse 24 is that trials come in multiple issues. They have multiple issues. We would say, when it rains, it pours. And it just seems to work that way in Scripture and in life. Look in verse 24. But by the boat, by this time, was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. It reminds us of the story Jesus tells in Luke 15. Do you remember the prodigal son? He went out and everything was good. And then the story says, and when he had spent all his money, and then parenthetically, there also happened to be a famine in the land. Doesn't it just feel sometimes that trouble comes in threes or fours or fives? And sometimes we just feel like the waves of an ocean knocking us down, and by the time we get up to breathe, it knocks us down again. And it just seems to work that way. And they're out in the middle of the water, and the winds arise. Now, this is a different distinction I want to make again with the story in Matthew 8. In the Matthew 8 story, the waves are threatening the boat. The issue in Matthew 8 are the waves about to swamp the boat. They were in imminent danger of sinking in Matthew 8. The issue here, even though there are waves, the issue here in Matthew 14 are not the waves, but the wind. See, in Matthew 8, they were in imminent danger of sinking. And Jesus is always present when we are in imminent danger of sinking. But in this passage, it's the wind. They weren't in imminent danger of sinking. They were just having a total inability to make any headway. They're struggling to move forward, and they can't. Isn't that a very relevant story for us? Are there areas in your life where you just don't seem to make any headway? You pray, you read the scripture, you hope, you get your hopes up, and you get your hopes disappointed. And it just seems like there's no headway being made. And we need to know that our dear Lord knows the difference. He knows the difference between a situation where the waves are about to swamp us and those situations where we're just having a difficult time making headway against the winds. Or as we read in the wisdom literature, He often will let us walk through the fire, but it won't destroy us. It'll strengthen us. It'll make us closer to Him. And the promise there, we see in verse 25, Jesus always comes to us. We struggle a bit, we make headway, but the hope we have is that Jesus always comes to us. Verse 25, and in the fourth watch of the night, that's somewhere between 3 and 6, he came to them walking on the sea. Now again, is Jesus sovereign? Yes. Did Jesus Christ as the Son of God know all things except His return? Yes. When He's up on this mountain alone, did He know His disciples were struggling in the boat with the winds? Yes. Did He come immediately? No. He came toward daybreak. Does God know you're struggling? Does God know that there's situations that you're not making headway in? Do you have times that you know that you're alone and you wonder if anyone notices? We cannot interpret God not immediately attending to something as God not being aware of and sovereignly and compassionately directing it. He knew. And He always comes to us. It's His nature. That's why we call Him Emmanuel, God with us. He comes to us. Hebrews 2:14 and 15. I'm reading this in the Message version. Translation says, since the children are made of flesh and blood, it's logical that the Savior took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by His death. By embracing death, taking it into Himself, He destroyed the devil's hold on death and freed all who cower through life, scared to death of death. He, by nature, is a God who comes to us, and He comes to rescue His people. In verse 26, they see Him walking on the sea. They know, as good students of the Old Testament, that only God is pictured in the Old Testament of walking on the sea. We see it in Job. We see it in Psalm, we see it in Isaiah, that only Yahweh can walk on the water. So now, far into their struggle, they see one walking on the water. And that leads me to my fifth aspect I want to point out. Verse 26, we're real bad at labeling events. Because their Savior were coming to rescue them, and they thought it was a ghost, an apparition. They were scared. We're pretty bad at labeling things, aren't we? Have you ever lost a job and thought it was the end of the world? And you look back and say, I was really wrong about that. You ever met someone and thought, this is my Prince Charming? And you're wrong about that. Or you think, now we've reached a place it's smooth sailing from now on. Or this is the worst thing that's ever happened. And we look back and we realize, no, it wasn't. We're real bad at labeling things. That's why we have to surrender the interpretation of events to His Word. We have to keep our focus on Him. Faith is redirecting our focus away from the issues and trying to label and just look upon Him. And the good news we see is that Jesus never condemns a sinner who comes to Him. In John 8, the woman at the well, the woman taken adultery, He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and see and sin no more. Luther's first thesis of the 95 Theses is that life is a continual repentance, a continual turning back to God. And every time we come back, He never condemns us. And He gives us a simple message. If you'll look in the end of verse 27, and I'll close with this. He just says, take three things. He says, take heart. or take courage. This is not the normal word used in Greek for the heart. The normal word used in Greek for the heart is cardia, from where we get cardiac. This is not that word. This is basically a word that means be cheerful. Be cheerful. I looked up in one of my favorite paraphrases by Clarence Jordan, a Southern Baptist who did a wonderful little series of books paraphrasing the Bible called the Cotton Patch Gospels. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Cotton Patch Gospels. And they're not great for study, but they're interesting. And he, as a Southerner, he takes this, take courage, as y'all take it easy. Meaning, relax. Have some cheer. Don't think the winds that you're having no ability to make progress against is the end of your life. I'm here. It is I. I'm here. And don't be afraid. The word there for afraid means to put to flight, to run away. In other words, what Christ tells his disciples out of love, and what he tells you and your terrible, very good, totally bad time right now. Stand your ground. Don't run away. Keep walking forward. Keep your eyes upon Christ alone. Cheer up, because Christ will never leave nor forsake you. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Let us pray. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
If you'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer, the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right to lift our hearts to you, Almighty God, for your Spirit brooded over the waters before the foundation of the world. Your pillar of fire led your people to freedom. Through the waters of the Red Sea, and your Son Jesus came to his disciples across the stormy waves of Galilee. In his agonizing death, we see how far we stray from you, and in his resurrection, we see how you draw us close, despite our betrayals and failures. We long for the day when all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, singing the hymn of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
We thank and praise you, Lord God, because in Jesus you come to us. Call us to you, lift us up when we fear and fail and fall, and stay with us through the storm. Come among us now through the power of your Spirit, that we may be transformed into your likeness, and that these gifts of bread and wine may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior. Who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Everlasting God, you promise us the righteousness that comes from faith, and you assure us that everyone who calls upon your name will be saved. Be close to all who struggle to believe. Make yourself known to any who have never heard. Empower those who are called to proclaim, and bless the ones you have sent. Visit those who are hungry. Be among them as the bread of life. Comfort any who are thirsty. Restore them with your fountain of living water. Strengthen all who are at sea in the trials and travails of life. Come to them across the waters and make your home with them. We pray in union with Christ in the power of your Holy Spirit, who helps us in our weakness and intercedes with sighs too deep for words. Father of all, now and forever.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As always, we go to Jesus Christ. Paul said to a church that thought it was very altogether, the church of Corinth, he said, in the midst of all your wisdom, I choose to know nothing except Christ and him crucified. Interesting phrase that he said, for there are many events of the life of Christ, but he spoke of the one that most would consider the most tragic and horrific. But he also spoke of it in the sense that even in that situation, it's Christ, the Messiah, who was crucified. As the psalmist would say, that he reigns from a tree. We may feel silent. We may feel alone. Christ knows that feeling. On his terrible, very good, no good day, which we call Good Friday, he couldn't even get his friends to stay awake through his agony. God the Father said no to his request that the cup be taken away. God the Father looked away from him when our sin was placed upon him. But through it all, he is Messiah, Christ. And the promise that God gave, epitomized in Jesus Christ, we must claim that I will not let my Holy One see corruption. In baptism, God Almighty put his name upon you. You are his. He will not come to you. He demonstrated that in Christ Jesus, who was given as our Passover lamb. So I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with sincerity and truth, to come and to receive the very body and very blood of our Savior. In receiving this, may we be healed, may we be strengthened, may we be encouraged. While here, please pray for someone that you are concerned about. Also, if you would like prayer, there'll be people at the corners to pray. Invite them to join with you in prayer. The feast is spread. Let us keep that feast.
Jesus is the body of Christ, broken for you, and the blood of Christ is shed for you. body of Christ broken for you.
You said you'd come and share all my sorrows. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away, but just like you promised.
Our gracious God, we thank you for the faith that you have birthed in us through your word. And we cry out, as the man did to Jesus, we believe. Help our unbelief. Hold us. Continue to keep us in your loving hands. Through your Spirit, double our resolve to trust and to hope and to sing that Easter conviction that's true throughout all our days, that because he lives, I can face tomorrow. We thank you for Emmanuel, a Christ who always comes to us. Through your Spirit, may we receive you and cling to you alone. We thank you for this and all things. Through your holy name, amen. Let us stand and close our worship, singing our final hymn. Service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.